Welcome to the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ podcast. Please enjoy the following study.
So before I start this morning, I couldn't help but hear something that was awesome earlier, in addition to all your singing, right? But welcome to Miss Alora Gaskins, who made a joyful noise to the Lord early this morning in our assembly. If you're not from around here, this is the newest member of the Gaskins family and the newest part of our church family, and we're excited by that, and I was glad to hear her speak up. So here you are. It's late at night, and you're in the living room by yourself. Everyone has gone to bed, and as you wrap up whatever it was you're doing, and it's time for you to head off to bed, you do what most people do as the house is quiet and people have gone off to bed and lights are out everywhere else. You turn off the lights in the living room and you try to quietly and carefully make your way to the bedroom, right? So you try to navigate. You know where the things are, so you kind of know which pitfalls to steer around even though it's dark. And so you take those baby steps carefully around the corner, and you get back through the hallway to your bedroom. You turn into the bedroom, and the very first thing you do is whack your toe on that hardwood corner of the bed, and you want to scream. You've had that experience, I'm sure, at some point in time. So I want to ask you a question. In a situation like that, what could you have done differently? Well, maybe the answers are obvious. In the passage that was read this morning, I love this word picture that we find here. The passage that we read this morning, thank you, Brother Isaac, was a number of verses, and there are lots of wonderful things that we could have talked about in that full passage, but I really want to focus here on verses 25 through 27. So for any of you who know me, you know I love this passage. Because to me, it speaks very clearly in a beautiful word picture of how we need to live our spiritual life, live our life spiritually. And this helps me in this regard. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I want to notice three things in particular from this passage. Two things that we're supposed to do. Number one, we're supposed to let our eyes look straight ahead. Another thing that this proverb tells us to do is to ponder the path of your feet. And then this proverb tells us something that we absolutely should not do. Do not turn to the right or the left. And so we want to look at these things in particular. Back in verse 25, as it relates to our eyes, the passage there says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. So this is one of the things that we are to do. In this passage, we see this idea of making sure that our eyes are straight ahead, that we have focus and we have purpose. You've heard the saying that says, look before you leap. Sometimes we just more simply say, watch where you walk. And it goes back to this idea of stubbing your toe. There's good reason why maybe you should have the lights on. Maybe you should be more careful. You should think ahead. It's about spiritual and singular focus. This takes discipline in our lives. So we're not to have a wandering eye, eyes that just go anywhere. Anywhere they want to, and whatever comes along, that's not how it's supposed to be. Jesus says this similarly, I think, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. To me, this speaks to this idea of where are your eyes going? What is your focus? Where is your purpose? And to make sure that it's singular, that it's fixed, that you have your eyes going where they ought to be. And this way, Jesus says, as you're plowing, it's to make sure that you keep your line straight, that you keep going the direction that you're supposed to, because if you turn around and look back, you're going to lose your way. And so it's important for us to have our eyes straight ahead. We have a dog. What a blessing. And when it's time for a walk, this dog is amazing. He's primarily outside, and somehow he can sense when Emily gets on her tennis shoes and pulls on a jacket anywhere in the house. I don't think he can see her. He somehow senses and knows that it's time for a walk, and he loves to go for a walk. And especially as Emily rounds the corner in the kitchen and that back door that has the big window, he's right there circling, he's growling, he's fussing, he's just chomping at the bit to go on this walk. So you open the door, and he immediately kind of goes into the laundry room, where usually that's where he gets his leash put on before he goes out on a walk. This dog is fixated on a walk. He gets what sometimes we call tunnel vision, right? It's only walk and nothing else, and you can't dissuade him. You're not going to try to stop him and get him distracted to do something else, because it's all about the walk. In similar fashion, a horse race, you've seen the horses that have blinders on. Why do they do that? Why do these horses have things on the side of their eyes that they call blinders? It's so that they don't look there, but they rather focus on the goal. Sometimes we say eyes on the prize, right? And that's important for you and me physically, so that we walk spiritually, that we have our eyes on the prize and we're careful of the distractions. No turning back. Where you look matters. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. You've heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I just want to ask you, does it matter what you look at? I would argue Jesus makes it very clear, so that you can see that it matters what you look at. Not just what's in your heart, what you think, where your feet go, but where you look has a lot to do with whether or not you're in the wrong place or where you should be. And Jesus goes on to say that if it's your eye that's causing you to sin, then you'd be much better blind to pluck it out, to get rid of it, than to be cast into hell because you couldn't control your eyes. They didn't go. They went places they weren't supposed to go. Job says it this way in Job 31, verse 1, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" So in both of these passages, brothers, we're being spoken to directly. Where your eyes go can get you in massive amounts of spiritual trouble that have eternal consequences. But this isn't just an admonition to the guys. This is an admonition to every single one of us. And Job, the way he looks at it, he says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. I made a contract. I made an agreement. I sat down and I wrote it out. I thought about this. Because there's some things that I don't want to look at, and there's some things that I do want to look at." There's countless things that vie for your eyes in this world in which we live. And it's all about where you choose to focus, and also where you purposely choose not to look. So watch your eyes. In our passage, we also see this in verse 26. "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." Here's another thing that the proverb tells us to do. Ponder your steps. And this is about focus and purpose. Ponder, in this particular, this Hebrew word, means to roll flat or to prepare a road. It means to weigh mentally and is often rendered, as we see it here, as ponder. Sometime in Old Testament scripture, we see that it can mean to calculate the weight of something. Yes, it has this idea of weighing. But in context here, it certainly means that we are to guard, to watch carefully one's way of life. We have to act with steadiness, with caution, and with consistency. And we have to be fully engaged in this. We cannot do this on autopilot. If you want to ponder the path of your feet, it has to be purposeful. This is how we see it, I think, in New Testament scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Circumspectly. That's a word you use all the time, right? What does that mean? It just means walk exactly, carefully, diligently, accurately. This is all about purpose. I might put it this way. Ponder the path of your feet. Watch your step and use your head. All the things that you ought to do if you want to maybe keep from stubbing your toe at night. Watch your step, use your head. Recently, my back was hurting. So I very carefully chose my steps once I hurt my back because I didn't want to tweak it again. And every now and then, I would step wrong and it would immediately stop me in my tracks. My back would spasm. It would just that pain that would shoot through my back. And so it was important for me to be careful with my steps or how I turned so that I didn't step wrong and pain was the result. So I was keenly aware of where those steps were going. Unfortunately, too often in life, you allow your feet to take you somewhere you should not go. You walk right into the big middle of all sorts of pain because of it. Sometimes physical pain, sometimes mental, emotional pain, spiritual pain, because your feet take you places your feet ought not to go. And so we have to watch that. But more than just watching your step, when we think of this idea of pondering the path of your feet, yes, watch your step. But I think this idea of pondering and weighing also gives us the idea of planning your route. So yes, it's about every single step, but it's more than that. Because it's more than just watching your steps, it is about weighing your steps. I believe this tells us that we ought to premeditate our steps. We need to think long and hard about the path that our feet are going to take. Nothing done rashly, instead using forethought. So this is both in the very near term and it's long term. So several years ago, my older brother had blood clots in his lungs. And he was in intensive care for a few days. And he's older than me, but he's not that much older than me. And although just because he had blood clots in his lungs didn't immediately mean that someday I'm going to have blood clots in my lungs, but it really caused me to sit up and take notice. And I thought, you know what? I used to play a lot of basketball and enjoy kind of getting exercise that way. And I kind of am just a complete sloth, you know, in the last many years and just did a little bit of nothing. Didn't really regularly do anything to exercise or to stay in a little bit of shape or to stay fit. And so I decided that I was going to start jogging. Again, if you know me, I do not like jogging. I won't call it running because what I do isn't running. As a matter of fact, what I call it is slogging. It's kind of a slow jog. But it's the idea of I needed to get out and do something. And so when I go slogging, I'm careful about where my feet take me. Because a lot of times I run through our addition, our housing addition, and one particular area where I run is actually a complete construction zone. There's all sorts of new homes being built, and there's stuff all over the street that I don't want to step on. Nails, you name it, lumber, stuff that just ends up in the street that I could trip on, I could step on that would hurt me, those kinds of things. I could turn an ankle, right? So as I'm slogging, I am literally thinking about every single step. I got to be careful in the near term of what's right in front of me. But when you go, well, you probably jog or run. When you go do that, right? you also have to have a destination in mind. You kind of have a route planned out about how long you're going to do this, whether it's a number of minutes or a number of miles or whatever, because there's some forethought. And you're thinking about the long-term goal. When am I going to get back to the house? You know, and what does that path look like? So it's not only every single step that I have to watch, but it's also this, I got to know where I'm going and plan the route. Planning is important. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 4, we see this parable from Jesus. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. As the parable goes on, you know that the bridegroom comes and the wedding comes and it's time for everyone to go in and they're called to this. And guess what? The wise virgins had oil for their lamps and so they ready to go, right? As soon as the bridegroom called. As soon as they were notified it was time, guess what? The foolish virgins who didn't have oil for their lamps were kind of scrambling around like, oh, what are we going to do now? Some of you maybe find yourself in that situation more often than you should, right? Because you don't plan ahead. And so this is very clearly outlined for us here. There were five who were wise, and there were five who were foolish. As we go on, as the parable ends, this is, quote unquote, the moral of the story that Jesus tells us. He says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Those wise and foolish virgins, they didn't know exactly when it was going to be time for the wedding feast, when the bridegroom was going to arrive. So they had to be ready, except some weren't, and they were shut out. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. Are you ready? Are you planning? Where are your feet taking you? Not only in the near term, but the long term. What direction are you going? Following Jesus does not come naturally to you and me. Our flesh wars against our spirit. And this isn't just what I say. This is what Scripture says. This is a fact. So it takes great intention and discipline and diligence and planning for us to reach our goal. You've probably heard this said before. Failing to plan is planning to fail. And I believe, spiritually speaking, that's very much the truth. So this year or recently, we've talked about a theme for the church body in this place. And that theme is becoming more like Jesus every day. So I want to ask you, as it relates to pondering the path of your feet, where are you going to go this year? So what is your plan for becoming more like Jesus every day? If that's where our minds are supposed to go, if that's the things that we're supposed to be thinking about, we've asked you as elders, the elders here, to do that. What's that plan? What are you looking at or not looking at? Which direction are your feet going, and what might that look like, and where will they not go? So I want to be very blunt. If your plan for becoming more like Jesus every day consists of simply showing up here a couple of times a week, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that is not enough, and that will fail. What's your plan? What are you going to do? So one of the things that you'll notice in the newsletter that has been announced, that there's some monthly studies that are happening. Now, this wasn't the elders decided we're going to have monthly studies. This was the elders hearing from many people like, we'd like to find other and additional opportunities to get together. And especially we talked about how we'd heard some of our women talking about, we'd like to be able to get together more often. And some of our guys talking about, wouldn't it be good if we got together more often and studied, especially talking about our daily life. That not just a theological, you know, a theological discussion about a passage or a group of verses. And that doesn't mean we're not going to do that, right? When people get together to study, because that's what we're going to do. But what? How does this relate to how I live and everyday challenges and obstacles to Christian living? And there are many, right? How can we have these conversations? How can we encourage each other? And how can we sharpen each other? So what we heard is people saying, wouldn't it be great if we had that? And so we've said, let's make that happen. People make that happen. Brothers and sisters make that happen. And so we're heading that way. So this isn't me saying, okay, if you plug yourself into one monthly study each month for the next 12, that all of a sudden that's your plan too. I'm not suggesting every single thing that I know that you need to do to make yourself more like Jesus every day. But what is your plan? So we've talked about what we need to do. Our eyes need to be straight ahead. We need to ponder the path of our feet. But there are also some things that we should not do. And in our passage in verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." I feel that this follow-up here, if you will, in verse 27, definitely applies to what we just read in verse 25 and verse 26 about our eyes and our feet. Very practical things. Wouldn't you say that your feet most often follow your eyes, right? So you're watching where you step and then you step. That's generally how it happens most of the time. So we must look straight ahead and we must ponder the path of our feet so that we do not turn to the right or to the left. Spiritually speaking, you cannot be all over the place. That's not okay. That will not glorify God. And so this is, if and when we're going to be spiritual, what this demands is focus. And what this demands is purpose. In Psalm 119, verse 37, the psalmist writes, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." So do not turn to the right or the left. Turn away your eyes from looking at worthless things. I said it before, and I don't have to tell you this, but I think it's important for us to state the obvious. There is lots and lots and lots of junk for you to put your eyes on if you allow your eyes to go there. So don't allow it. Don't allow it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Singular spiritual focus. And make sure that you don't let your eyes go to the right or the left. In Psalm 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." There are lots of places you can go, okay? If you want, you have lots of places where your feet can take you. Please understand that you should never darken the door of many, many of those places that your feet could take you. Should never be there. Never let your feet go to those places. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who lets sinful people influence you to sinful things." And so it means that you have to be careful and ponder the path of your feet, not to turn to the right or the left, but to keep your focus and your purpose. Our passage in Proverbs counsels us on a straightforward, unswerving directness toward a fixed goal without turning our eyes or feet toward anything that is worthless and forbidden by God. There are lots of things that you can look at, lots of places where your feet can take you that are absolutely worthless. They have no value. They will only drag you down. They will only harm you. They will only deter you from your goal. And God says, don't go there. Don't look there. Don't turn those ways. Keep your eyes straight ahead. I think we can all agree that a driver swerving in and out of traffic, darting here and there, going way too fast, is reckless and dangerous. I don't think any of us enjoys it when we're driving on the road. For that person to be weaving in and out of traffic, that bothers us. That scares us, at least. But what about distracted driving? Okay, what about someone who's nodding off at the wheel? Someone who's entirely too sleepy to be driving a motor vehicle. they're kind of maybe just veering, you know, just slightly here and there over the lines, you know, one way or the other, or across the double stripe, or into another lane or incoming traffic. Well, I'd argue that that is just as dangerous as the person who's driving like a mad person through traffic. So the admonition, don't go to the right or the left, we could see that principle borne out here. As you drive, it should be both hands on the wheel, you know, observing the traffic laws, driving defensively where you're watching in front of you and in back of you and to both sides so that you're not distracted. You've got to be alert because some other people on the road are not going to be. You have to be alert. And more often, if we were more attentive, we would be so much safer. No swerving, no drifting. The admonition from Proverbs is do not turn to the right or the left. Remember, the New Testament says this, we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. It is extremely rare that we are completely caught off guard. Like we didn't know something was wrong, or we didn't expect Satan to tempt us that way. On the contrary, most of the time we could think ahead and we could be like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. That was likely going to come up. We know the difference in what's to the right and the left that Satan wants versus where God wants you to go instead. We do know the difference. We are not ignorant. Therefore, it's about staying on guard. It's about staying alert. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, sin, Satan constantly tries to derail you. That's this idea of sin, which so easily ensnares us. It takes us off our track. It tries to get us to go right or left when God says, let your eyes look straight ahead and ponder the path of your feet. And so we're told this, right? There is sin which easily ensnares us. We have to be careful. You have to be watchful. You have to stay on alert or you'll start veering off course. You will go right or left instead. 1 Peter chapter 5, this famous passage, says it so plainly. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You have to pay attention, or you will trip, or you will fall, or you will die. That's what we're talking about here, brothers and sisters. That's the importance of letting our eyes look straight ahead and pondering the path of our feet and making sure that we do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil because it's out there. But I want to go back to our passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 again, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So don't look right or left. Do fix your eyes on Jesus. Think about letting your eyes look straight to Jesus. Think about where did he walk? Step where he stepped. Don't go where he wouldn't go. Don't say things he wouldn't say. Do teach and help and serve and love like he would. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Look to Jesus. This is both near term and this is long term. It's every single step, every single day, and it's the path to heaven, to life eternal. It's about becoming more like Jesus every day and making him the focal point. He is our focus. He is our purpose. And so we look to him to go where we need to go. So it's about your eyes being straightforward, eyes on the prize. It's about weighing each and every step, pondering them, And that takes daily diligence. And it's about planning ahead. Where are you heading? Which direction are you going? What are you looking at? Where are you looking? To whom are you looking? Where do your feet take you? As we close, I'd ask you, what path have you chosen to walk every day? Which way are you going? Our verses say, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. What path have you chosen to walk? Which way are you going? Or are you really only just wandering around aimlessly? Answer these questions. Decide, what is your plan? Where will your focus be? What is your purpose? And make sure that you fulfill that in your life. If the church here can help you in any way, we're here for that. We're here to assist you, to support you, to encourage you. We could pray for you. You can let us know if you'd like us to do that. Or if there's one who has not decided to follow Jesus, make that decision to look to Jesus, to follow in his steps, to make sure that your eyes are looking straight ahead and you ponder the path of your feet. If we can help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. For further information about our church, please go to normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com.